Good morning, everybody. My name is Robert Schuller, and this is the Robert Schuller Ministries at Church with No Walls.
Good morning. Welcome to church. This is Donna Schuller. This is part of what we do. Tongue tight. Part of what we do with the Robert Schuller Ministries. We have a Sunday morning church service at 8 a.m. Pacific time every single Sunday from all over the world.
Yeah.
So we're glad you're here.
Yeah, we're on several different platforms. I don't know where you're watching, but you can watch on Facebook.
No, but hopefully our website.
I was going to say.
Facebook is last.
I was getting there. I was going to say, but our favorite place is drschuller.org. That's drschuller.org.
Sorry, so. I didn't mean to jump on you like that, but the first thing out of your mouth was the worst one.
Yeah.
The ones that just take us down all the time and censor us and don't show our followers and cut our followers out.
Well, a couple weeks ago, YouTube took us down.
Yeah,
YouTube
was
just as bad, but we're live on YouTube also.
The number one thing we'd like for you to do is go to our website. There's lots to see there, too. So if you don't like drschuller.org, you can go to robertschullerministries.org. It's the same thing. But it's just, we're going to probably start putting more and more on our website and less on social media. We're going to leave it on social media, but we want more and more of you to go on our website, please.
Yeah, so go to our website, drschuller.org, drschuller.org. And while you're there, take a look at some of our
articles.
Articles. Cool. And there's a link to our YouTube page with just over 1,000. I think we're over 1,000
videos
on there now. Everything from a 10-second pick-me-up to I think the longest one is 4 hours, which is the longest we were allowed to do at one time. And,
we have a lot on there is what we're saying. You'll be on there for a long time once you go on there. Lots to read. Lots of different topical blogs or articles. They're really articles. That's what blogs are. And there's lots of articles depending on what you're going through. It could be anxiety, could be single parenting, could be loss of health. Emotional problems. So anyway.
So subscribe, share, and participate.
Please. Back to church.
So we've got some people on. I see the chats.
Okay.
And so this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have the freedom to be able to worship you, to be able to give you thanks and praise in all things. So you created everything there is with a word. And so give us a word, O Lord, that will change the way we see life and create a more positive beauty. May we experience something that you have done in our lives. And as a result of that, see the growth that we have had. And may we just realize that with you, we can do all things. You are our God. We are your people. We love you, Lord, and we praise your name always and forever. Amen.
Amen. I urge you pray, about a word. And, there's so much power in a word. So much power. We used to hear as kids, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And that's not true. Sticks and stones can break your bones, but words can destroy you. A good word can make your day.
Can pierce your heart.
Yeah, can pierce your heart. So, we have to watch our words, especially this time of the year when emotions are running high and running around more than normal, trying to get that perfect gift for our loved ones. And hopefully we're preparing our hearts during this Advent season, because that's the most important thing, to prepare your hearts for the greatest day of all history. And that was the day that Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem in a manger, a little baby. Grew up to become a man and perform miracles, and he's our Savior, he's our Lord, he's Father, he's Son, and he's Holy Spirit. So anyway, it's a great season. Would you like me to read the scripture?
Yeah. Why don't you, before you do, I just want to make a couple announcements.
Sure.
The first thing is that we have a church service this morning at the Civic Center in Newport Beach. It's 100 Civic Center Drive, Newport Beach, California. And you're welcome to join us there at 10:30. We're there every Sunday morning at 10:30. If you're in the Orange County area, or for that matter, Southern California, you can come down to Newport Beach and have a make a day of it. There's lots to do and things to see, and it's a very beautiful place to enjoy. And so you can come and worship with us at 10:30.
So what about next Sunday?
Next Sunday we're having
10:30. It's Christmas Eve.
It's Christmas Eve. We'll find out. Mm-hmm. And
stay tuned. Well, I think you brought that up, so I thought maybe that's what you're
saying. No.
Yeah.
So just this morning for sure, and we're working on next Sunday. So
we're in a government building.
Yeah.
So we've been able to have church services there in the past on Christmas Eve, but we're praying for an employee that's going to come in and open the doors for us, and we know that's going to happen. So help us pray for that. And that's why we can't say what time our Christmas Eve service is yet, because we've typically had it at 4 p.m. And if a person can't come in at 4 p.m., we'll have it at 3, we'll have it at 2, we'll have it at noon, we'll have it at our normal time.
Anytime.
30. But please stay tuned. Please don't just show up without hearing from us, we'll post it on our Facebook page or we can't do it on our website because I don't know how to get into our website. Somebody else helps us with that. But we will post it on all social media platforms what time our church service is on Christmas Eve. So don't just show up.
So anyway, why don't you go ahead and read the scripture?
Will do.
And I'll hide that for now. And we'll come back. I'll be back on it.
That's nice. Oh, look at that. Somebody has a really nice comment. I can't read it all. Very nice.
I put it on the screen for students.
Oh, that's nice. Well, good morning, everyone. Today I have some selected verses from Psalm 37. And as normal, my husband, the pastor of this service, selected these verses to go with his sermon today. So Psalm 37, selected verses. Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. For those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. The meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity. The blameless spend their days under the Lord's care, and their inheritance will endure forever. In times of disaster, they will not wither. In days of famine, they will enjoy plenty. The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I was young, and now I am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. Turn from evil and do good. Then you will dwell in the land forever. For the Lord loves the just, and he will not forsake his faithful ones. The righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. The mouths of the righteous utter wisdom, and their tongues speak what is just. The law of their God is in their hearts. Their feet do not slip. Hope in the Lord and keep his way. He will exalt you to inherit the land. Consider the blameless, observe the upright. A future awaits for those who seek peace. The salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is their stronghold in times of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them because they take refuge in him. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you. Thank you that you are our shepherd. You are our refuge. You are a safe place in times of trouble. Thank you, Lord, that we draw near to you, and you draw near to us. Lord, give us peace. Give us more peace than normal this holiday season. May we remember the joy of the birth of Jesus Christ May we celebrate with friends or family. May we reach out to somebody that we need to make amends with today. May we reach out and just say hello, or I'm thinking of you, or something. If you don't feel comfortable reaching out, Lord, encourage people just to drop a note. Maybe send a Christmas card to somebody that you haven't heard from or you think needs to hear from you. Lord, we ask you to create peace and love and harmony in our hearts and in our homes and in our cities and our states and in our world, Lord. And peace starts with us. It starts with me. It starts with you. Lord, thank you for giving us this message today. We love you, Lord. Amen. So
what kind of announcements do we have? Well, first of all, this is we always collect an offering.
Yes.
And that's one of the things we do every Sunday because it's an important part of our faith in God.
Absolutely.
And his provision for our lives. And I'm going to be talking about that a little bit today. So anyway.
Well, you can go back to our website. Hopefully you haven't left yet and gone there because you're watching us. You're watching and participating in church. But if you go to drschuller.org, drschuller.org, or robertschullerministries.org, takes you to the same landing page. You'll see a button that says, I'd like to give. And you can give that way by clicking on that button. It's really quite easy if you haven't done it yet. You just go through a few prompts. It's a very secure way of giving. This is the company, the app we use. It's called Givlia, and we've been using this now for a few years. If you don't like that way, you can go on the homepage again at our website and scroll all the way to the bottom. You'll see our office address, and it's 26 Canyon Island Drive, Newport Beach, California, 92660. Again, that's at the end of our homepage, our website. We also take Venmo, and it's Robert Schuller Ministries is our Venmo account. And if you have Zelle, if you know it, you know it. And that's a direct bank transfer, bank to bank. And that's without any fees. And we have a Zelle account, Robert Schuller Ministries. And did I miss something?
Did you do Venmo?
Yeah, I said Venmo.
I was busy doing other things.
I said Venmo.
Sorry.
Robert, it's okay. That's why I was waiting for you to pull it up. But just to show people what it looks like.
Yeah, let me see if I can pull up our design here. There's our Venmo. And
that's what it looks like. You want.
Yeah. So that's our Venmo account if you wish to give that way. We want to thank everybody who gives regularly to this ministry. That's what keeps us going. Another thing is it's not too late if you need a last-minute Christmas gift for someone you love, like your mother or one of your daughters.
Or your aunt or your cousin.
Yeah. Fearless Women, you can go to Amazon.com and you can purchase that and have it sent directly to them. You know, that's the cool thing about buying things on Amazon. You can have them, like we have a bunch of gifts we bought for my daughter who lives in Florida. And we had all those things shipped straight there
and
by
your son.
Amazon. And my son. And then we did the same thing with my son in Utah. Exactly.
And then we have some little kids here too. But yeah, it's a great thing to do. And it's Fearless Women by Donna Schuller. So if you just type that in the top of any search engine, it'll come up. You have to order it through Amazon. And 100% of the proceeds go straight into the ministry's bank account. We don't see it. We don't do the accounting for that. Amazon handles all of it. And I have to say, the book is doing pretty well.
Yeah,
and
it is.
And people are enjoying it. And I have some great reviews. So if you do buy it, write a review too, please.
Yeah,
right. Only if it's a good review.
Exactly.
Anyway,
somebody wrote a real negative review without even.
Yeah, they let somebody
buy in the book.
Yeah,
it was crazy, and it's you're required to buy the books on Amazon.
So but, I don't know how that happened, but somebody gave me a 1-star and said they didn't like the sample reading or something. I'm like, what? They're supposed to verify that you've read the book. So,
exactly.
I don't know.
Anyway.
Maybe they didn't like my name.
Yeah, that could be it.
Okay.
So anyway, thank you,
right.
Donna.
Okay.
And I'm gonna conclude a mini series of messages on Abraham this morning. as this is the third Sunday of Advent. On the third Sunday of Advent, if you go to a church that lights candles, in fact, we'll be doing that in our church this morning. We have a family that's going to be lighting the pink candle, and the pink candle stands for joy, which is the third Sunday of Advent. And so I want to recognize that right up front. I thought about wearing a pink shirt just because it's the Sunday of joy, but I'm going, no, that's okay. It's out of season, and I'll keep my pink shirt for the springtime and the summer. But anyway, I've been going through talking about some of the accounts that took place in Genesis that share with us the relationship that Abram had with God. And this morning, I'm going to take and look at Genesis 22. And the reason I'm doing that is because it foretells us very much of the coming of Jesus Christ and the price that Christ is going to pay, and what God's commitment is to us as individuals and as people, with Jesus Christ being the sacrifice that God made for us. And when he gave us his son on Christmas Day, that baby, he knew what was going to happen to Jesus, and he understood what he was doing for us. And so I'm going to go through the and read Genesis 22, and as I do, I'm going to stop and give some different information about it. Let me start by giving you the overview, and then we'll get into the details. What happens is God comes to Abraham to test him, and God asks Abraham, like God does with Jesus, to take his only son. And this is the foundation of all of the promises of God. It was a miracle that he had this one child. And God asks Abraham to take this child to Mount Moriah as a sacrifice. And why would God ask anybody to ever sacrifice their child? And I think the reason he did that here is because Abraham came out of Ur of the Chaldees. He came out of a culture. He came out of a polytheistic world where people worshiped many gods, and it was just common practice throughout history for gods to require human sacrifice, and specifically the firstborn. And if we want to relate that to today, unfortunately, there are thousands of women who are sacrificing their first unborn. And it's an abomination to God. God does not want us to sacrifice children to him or to any god, especially other gods. And so one of the things he wanted to do is to break this evil understanding that man had with deities. And he wanted to create an impact that Abraham and the world would never forget. He took Abraham on this test. So Abraham took him to Mount Moriah, and there he got ready to sacrifice his son when God provided the ram. Said, "This is the Lamb of God." And that lamb then became the sacrifice. And again, all of this is a prophesying, showing, and a reflection of the future, as God himself provides Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God, sacrifices his son for the sins of mankind, that whoever believes in him will never perish but have everlasting life. And so here we have this account, and we're going to go through it. I'm going to read it for you, and I'm going to pause as we go through and read so that you have a better understanding of exactly what's going on. We're going to start with where Abraham was when God came and spoke to him. Abraham happened to be in Beersheba, and here's a map that shows you the travels of Abraham. God calls Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees, and he and his father go up to Haran. When I say up, if you follow the red line, you'll see off to the right, at the end of the red line, you'll see this. You'll see the city of Ur, where God called Abraham. And then he and his father traveled north. You follow the red line till you get to Kinev, and then you go across that plateau, and there's Haran. That's where he and his father, that's where Abraham's father died. And then Abraham continued to travel south, and you can see he goes along the Mediterranean. He's like 100 miles from the Mediterranean. He keeps going south. And if you keep going south, about 3/4 of the way down the Mediterranean, you'll see in yellow with the first letters actually in the Mediterranean Sea, you'll see the word Jerusalem. And then you keep going down, the last lettered, yellow lettered words are Gaza. And then right below Gaza in blue on the red line, you'll see a dot. And it's hard to read, but that's where it says Beersheba. And it is there in Beersheba that God talks to Abraham and then tells him to travel to Mount Moriah, which is in Jerusalem. So if you go north from Beersheba, you'll see Jerusalem up there. And that is where God is telling Abraham to go. So with this understanding, let's read the passage of Scripture. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham." "Here I am," Abraham replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you." So what Abraham does is he takes two servants with him and his son and himself, and the four of them travel 45 miles from Beersheba north to present-day Jerusalem, which is where Mount Moriah is. Early in the morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. So there's four men. Now, Isaac is probably a teenager. He's not a man yet, so he's probably 13 or 14 years old. When he had cut enough wood from the burnt offering, Abraham set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, so they had two nights in the wilderness as they traveled to this location in Jerusalem. We know it's Mount Moriah. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood that he had cut for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. So we know Isaac wasn't a small child. He wasn't weak. He wasn't feeble. He was a strong, able-bodied young man, probably more than capable of overpowering his old father. And he himself carried the fire and Abraham carried the fire and the knife, but his son carried the wood. Again, I want you to see the relationship this is of God giving us his son, Jesus, because today is Advent, and it is the third Sunday of Advent. It is the Sunday that we recognize as the time of joy and celebration, because God gives us his son, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And what we know is that when Jesus, before he was sacrificed, what did he do? He didn't carry the wood of the sacrifice, but he carried the cross, the wooden cross, and he carried it to Golgotha. So this is a projection into the future of what God does for us and the sacrifice he makes so that we can have a relationship with him. So Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering, placed it on his son, and his son and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, "Father?" "Yes, my son," Abram replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went together. When they reached the place God told them about, Abraham built an altar there, and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." God tested Abraham. He didn't tempt him. There's a huge difference. Satan tempts, God tests. What's the difference? The difference is Satan tempts us to do things that are going to create fear, create frustration, separate us from God, and just make us fall into make us worse people. God tests us to enhance our territory, to strengthen us as individuals, to give us character, to make us stronger individuals. And so he tests us, and we have to go through the fires, we go through the trials, we go through the challenges, but through it all, God is our provision. He provides everything we need, and he protects us, and he enlightens, and he heightens us. So Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided." And so I want you to read this. I want you to see it. I want you to feel it. Here it is. Abraham called the name of the Lord. The place, Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." As it said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord, it will be provided." So "the Lord will provide" is actually Yahweh Yireh, which has been translated Jehovah Jireh. Maybe you've heard that. There's been songs written Jehovah Jireh, but the actual Hebrew is Yahweh Yireh, and "the Lord will provide." That's what that means. If you hear the words or you hear the songs that are sung Jehovah Jireh, it means "the Lord will provide." And this is the message we need to hear today, that on this day, we have tremendous joy with the coming of Jesus' birth. We understand and we realize that the Lord will provide. And that's why he called that place Jehovah Jireh or Yahweh Yireh. And so we have this amazing promise from God. Now, this took place in Jerusalem. That's where Mount Moriah is. And if you want to know specifically where it is, it's right here in Jerusalem, the Dome of the Rock. When people think of a picture of Jerusalem, they often think of this picture, the Dome of the Rock. Why is it called the Dome of the Rock? Because it is over a rock. So here's an inside of the Dome of the Rock. And then you can actually go down. There's a stairway that you can see on the far left of this picture, and you can actually go down inside the rock. I've done that. I've been inside the Dome of the Rock today. It's not possible to go inside. You can go to the Temple Mount. You can see the outside, but unless you're a professing and have all the credentials of Islam, and you're not going to get inside. They don't allow anyone who doesn't profess their faith inside anymore. But back in the early days, in the 70s and 80s, actually it was the 70s, not only did I go inside the Dome of the Rock, but I went inside the rock. And it is this rock that is recognized. This is the place that is recognized as Jehovah Jireh, or as we said earlier, Yahweh Hira. And this is where Abraham took his son. This is where God provided a ram. This is where Abraham built this pile of wood and sacrificed the ram that God provided. And once again, it reminds us that it is here on Mount Moriah. And the mountain is not just one place. It is a mountain range. And this was the place where God chose for Abraham to sacrifice this ram. This then became the Holy of Holies, where the Jewish people, until Rome destroyed the temple, this is where the Ark of the Covenant sat. It stood on this rock. And the Israelites would sacrifice their animals in order to have a relationship with God. So it wasn't on this place where Jesus was sacrificed, not in the Holy of Holies, but on this same mountain range in a place called Golgotha. And he carried his cross like Isaac carried the wood. And he proclaimed himself, Jesus proclaimed himself as, "I am the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." And why is that important? It's important because God in his holiness cannot embrace sin. He can only embrace purity. And so when we come and we profess to Jesus and accept Jesus as our Lord and our Savior, Jesus is the sacrificial lamb that sheds his blood that we might be saved through him. And that's what this passage is telling us and is sharing us as we go forward and look forward to the fact that in a week from now, it's going to be the fourth Sunday of Advent and the day before Christmas. We're only 8 days away from Christmas today. And so if you're listening to me and there's any last minute gifts you have, one of the things you might want to consider is my wife's book on, and it can be shipped out to somebody right away and you can have it very, very soon. It is called Fearless Women, and there it is, Donna Shuler, Fearless Women, Transform Negative Emotions into Positive Realities. And so we go through this passage, and there are several things I want you to hear and realize. Number one, God will test those who trust in him and love him and care about him. And the testing may be extreme, it may be difficult, but he will not give you any test that you cannot bear. And so we come and we expect to be tested. And through the testing process, he is enlarging our territories, our emotional abilities, our fortitude, our character, and he is in the process of making us and helping us become the people he wants us to be. So if you want more patience, you better expect to be tested by God. If you want more finances, you better expect to be tested by God. And when we get tested, we know that God will provide. That's Jehovah Jireh or Yahweh Hira. And we know that this is coming, that this will happen. And through it all, God will provide. So I'm going to share with you one more time the Bible verse I want you to remember. If my screen will work, there it goes. Now I can put it up. I want you to remember, Abraham called the name of that place, God will provide, as it said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it will be provided. And you don't have to go to the Dome of the Rock to experience the provision and the provision and the sustenance of God. God comes to you where you are today. Mount Moriah was a place and point in history. And Mount Moriah, or the Jehovah Jireh, his foundation being Jesus Christ, the foundation stone. And upon that, he has built his church. And as one of the building stones in the Church of Jesus Christ, everybody who calls the name of Lord Jesus will be saved and put into that temple of Jesus. And that is the Mount Moriah. As we join together as his people, praising God, looking forward to the birth of Jesus in 8 days, and the joy we have in knowing that he is our Lord, our Savior, our Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're a God who not only provides, but you enlarge our territories. You come with and bring us hope and joy and goodness because you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. With a word, you can create anything, you can do anything. The cattle on 1,000 hills are yours. You don't need anything from us, but you want our praise and thanksgiving. So today we give you praise, we give you thanks, and we worship you with our hearts, our souls, our minds, and our bodies. Use us, O Lord. Take us, test us, we pray. In your Son's name, always and forever. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord give you his peace. In your lying down and your rising up, in your labor and in your leisure, in your laughter and in your tears, until you come to stand before Jesus in that day in which there is no sunset and no dawning. Amen. God's blessing you, everybody. Please go to our website, drschuller.org, that's drschuller.org, and support this ministry. Consider a year-end gift, and God will bless you for it. Thank you. Bye-bye.